Acuity, a mutual insurance company versus Progressive Specialty Insurance Company. On behalf of the appellant, Mr. Lester, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Chief Justice Kennedy, may it please the court. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. This is a case about freedom of contract. Here, Ashton Smith was a permissive driver of a car that Progressive insured, and he caused an accident. Progressive's insurance contract defines an insured for liability coverage as including a permissive driver, but only if the driver has no insurance of their own. Ashton had insurance of his own through a policy that Acuity issued to his father. Ashton, therefore, is not an insured person under Progressive's policy as a matter of straightforward contract interpretation. Since this is so, no other insurance issue is even presented, which should eliminate needless disputes like this one. Progressive is allowed to define who is an insured under its insurance contract. There's nothing sinister about this. Every policy defines who it insures.
Counsel, is home indemnity case cited in the briefing controlling in this case?
No, it's not, Your Honor, for several reasons. First of all, in the State Farm case, State Farm's policy said that it was excess to other insurance. And Holmes' policy said that it would cover a permissive driver only if there was no other available insurance, either primary or excess, which the court treated as an escape other insurance clause. The policies were both primary policies, and both would have provided primary coverage absent the other policy. But the court made much of the home policy's reference to other, quote, primary or excess insurance.
It sounds like you don't think State Farm was rightly decided.
I think it was questionable at the time, Your Honor. It's not clear what it was even talking about. And it took Acuity having somebody search this court's archives to find the briefs in the case to determine what the policy provision even said. But here, Progressive's policy uses different language. In Home, the court said State Farm's policy provides excess insurance. Home's policy says it doesn't apply if there's no primary or excess insurance. And Holmes policy, by its own terms, the escape provision didn't apply. But here, Progressive's policy uses different language. It does not refer to other primary or excess insurance, as in State Farm and the later cases of Halcyon, Progressive Max, and Atterbury. Progressive's policy says it insures a permissive driver, quote, who is not insured for liability coverage by any other insurance policy. Doesn't say primary or excess, any other insurance policy. Acuity's policy is certainly any other insurance policy, and it provides primary auto coverage to its insureds. It's simple. Acuity insures Ashton, Progressive does not. State Farm also does not control because it has been effectively overruled in any event.
But if Ashton was not insured by your allegation or by what you say, by Acuity, would Progressive cover this auto accident?
Absolutely. Because he would be a permissive driver who was not covered by any other insurance. So Progressive's policy would provide coverage. There's no financial responsibility issue at all.
So we have a driver who is permissive driving a vehicle that is insured, and Progressive would cover the liability with this auto accident if Ashton did not have his own insurance, which you say should kick in first.
Correct. Yeah, he's covered by Acuity. Acuity rated him as a driver, listed him in the policy.
So drivers, you're insured as a driver regardless of what you're driving, whether it's your vehicle, whether it's somebody else, I mean, permissively, legally, of course. It's the insurance coverage goes to the driver who's driving any vehicle that he or she is authorized to drive.
Well, you have to look at the policy to see whether he's covered. Progressive's policy says it covers permissive drivers as long as they're not covered by any other insurance policy. Here, Ashton's covered by another insurance policy, his own policy, purchased by his father. So he's not covered under Progressive's policy. The only issue is which of two insurance companies pays the claim. He's not insured under Progressive's policy. But getting back to State Farm, in 1999, this court decided the Holloman case. And the court found no uninsured motorist coverage under an excess policy because the vehicle passenger plaintiffs did not meet the policy's definition of insured. This court reached that conclusion even though the primary policy covered the same passengers. This court held nothing prohibits an insurer from defining who's an insured under the insurance contract. It's no response to dismiss Holloman as an uninsured motorist case and therefore somehow different. There's no reason why uninsured motorist insurers can define who they insure and liability insurers cannot. Nothing in the uninsured motorist statute leads to that conclusion. In fact, when Holloman was decided, uninsured motorist coverage was highly restrictive and it had to strictly comply with the terms of the uninsured motorist statute. There are numerous examples of this court in the 1980s and the 1990s striking down policy provisions as contrary to the uninsured motorist statute. Martin, Savoy, Sexton, and Alexander are well-known examples. Liability coverage has never been similarly constrained. So while a liability insurance decision may not have applied to uninsured motorist coverage because of the statutory restrictions on uninsured motorist coverage, there's no reason why an uninsured motorist coverage decision would not apply to the same issue in liability coverage, which has always been more permissive. Same basic contract principles apply. And then in 2008, this court decided Wohl versus Swinney, which raises exactly the same issue presented here, but in an uninsured motorist context. There, a vehicle passenger was injured in a car accident, and he wanted to bypass his own minimum limits policy and seek uninsured motorist coverage under the car owner's much larger policy. The owner's policy, like Progressive's policy here, provided that a vehicle occupant with their own insurance was not an insured under the policy. This court upheld that provision and held that the passenger was not an insured under the owner's policy since he had his own insurance.
Counselor, some in our audience might be thinking, why don't you split the difference? Why don't you split liability? Why don't both insurances pay?
Well, it's not what the policies say, Your Honor. The policy language is what determines who pays.
Well, but that's what's in dispute here. That's why you and opposing counsel are here. Both policies have an exclusion that says, well, we're not going to pay if the other insurance company is supposed to pay. And the other one says, well, we're not supposed to pay if the other insurance policy is supposed to pay.
Well, that's not what we have, though. That's not our facts here. And I can't say that I've seen any cases where neither policy provided coverage.
Well, so in this case, the trial court, if I get my procedure correct, the trial court decided in your favor on summary judgment.
Correct.
And then it went to the Court of Appeals, who reversed that. So already you've got two different tribunals who have found differently.
Well, yes, but the 11th District stands alone here. There are, in fact, Your Honor, at least six appellate districts that have expressly rejected the contention that a definition of insured, like what we have in Progressive's policy, is an invalid escape clause. We have the 1st District, West American, 3rd District, Shepherd versus Scott, the 6th, both an uninsured motorist case and a liability case, Engler and Egert. The 8th, Safeco versus Motorists. The 9th, Lightning Rod versus Grange. The 10th, Ashcraft versus Grange. And the 10th again in Mitchell. Every one of these courts said, this is not an escape clause. It's a definition of insured, and you're allowed to do this. Here, Ashton, the result is Ashton simply looks to his own insurer, Acuity, for coverage. There's nothing wrong with this. Ashton would be covered if he didn't, under Progressive's policy, if he didn't have Acuity's policy. And if the owner of the vehicle insured by Progressive was sued for negligently entrusting this car to 16-year-old Ashton, they would have coverage too. Progressive's definition of insured doesn't violate any aspect of Ohio law. It doesn't violate the financial responsibility statute because the escape provision, if you call it that, only applies where Ashton already has his own insurance. If he didn't have his own insurance, Progressive would cover him. Public policy concerning liability insurance is set forth in the financial responsibility statute. All that's required is $25,000 per person and $50,000 per accident of coverage. Here, both Progressive and Acuity have limits of $100, $300. So there's not any financial responsibility concern at all. So what we're left with, State Farm, which construed different language and has been effectively overruled by this court in both Holloman and Wall. There is no reason why a different rule should pertain to liability insurance than uninsured motorist coverage in terms of who can define an insured. Most of the litigation in this area has been in the uninsured motorist context because that's where these provisions occurred first. So there has simply been more time. But other than the 11th District here, the cases that have addressed this definition of insured in the liability context have upheld it. That includes Egert, Williams, and Geico. And in fact, liability insurers have the same right to define who they insure as do uninsured motorist insurers. They have even more reason to do so cautiously because they're providing liability insurance to drivers who sometimes cause accidents and not simply uninsured motorist coverage for drivers and passengers who are not at fault. It's simply unfair to liability insurers to mandate that they insure any permissive driver of an insured auto where the policy says the opposite and where the driver has their own insurance with whatever limits and terms they chose to pay for. And frequently what happens here is what, in this area, is what happened in the Wall case. You have somebody who wanted to pay only for a minimum limits policy, and they happened to be riding in a car that was owned by somebody who had, say, $1 million worth of coverage. So they say, to heck with my minimum limits policy, I'm gonna tap the $1 million policy. But the $1 million policy, we'll call it the Wall policy, said, we don't cover you if you have your own policy.
Counsel, what's the strongest case that we can look, what's the strongest case that we can look to for guidance in this dispute that involves the language that is most on point with the language at issue in these two policies? What would you suggest?
Well, one of the good cases, and it's only a trial court case, but it's well written and it's worth looking at, it is Williams versus Gross out of, I think, Stark County. You could also look at any of the cases that I mentioned where the courts of appeal have expressly rejected the notion that a definition of insured is an escape other insurance provision. And I see that I'm out of time.
Not yet, but soon. We'll reserve the rest.
Okay. I'll reserve the rest. Thank you.
Mr. Lee, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Chief Justice Kennedy, may it please the court. My name is Doug Lee, and I'm here on behalf of the Appalee Acuity Mutual Insurance.
Let's focus. Is State Farm still good law? And if so, how does it apply here?
Okay, it is definitely, pursuant to stare decisis, good law. Home indemnity has been the law of this court for 53 years. It has provided a bright line standard. It is consistent with the majority of case law throughout the country. If it reflects the disfavor of escape clauses, and more importantly, it ensures adequate insurance coverage for permissive drivers, and it also guarantees for car owners that their cars will be insured. Now, no court in Ohio has questioned home indemnity. also. No court has addressed, has rejected home indemnity. And here, with regard to the cases that the plaintiffs or that Progressive has cited, are the uninsured motorist cases. And those cases, as we can see, one of the most important cases that you asked to look at is the Shepard versus Scott case. That was an uninsured motorist case. And in that case, the court was asked to evaluate that case, the escape clause, in an uninsured motorist case in light of home indemnity. And in that case, the Third District explicitly refused to apply home indemnity to the uninsured motorist case, because home indemnity is not an uninsured case. And they made a point of us going and finding the appellate briefs in home indemnity, and we did that. And the purpose that we did that is to show that this case is indistinguishable to home indemnity from the facts, from the legal arguments.
It is distinguishable in that the policy language is different, correct?
Yes.
That seems a pretty big distinction. So, but let me just kind of, so here's my problem, I guess, with your case, and maybe you can help convince me why you're right. But we have the State Farm case, which has different policy language. Here, if we just apply the plain language of the two insurance contract, it's pretty clear that that Acuity has to cover this loss. Progressive doesn't cover it. So that's just a plain language reading. So then we have State Farm, which involves different policy language, but is really, it wasn't really driven by the policy language. It's driven by public policy reasons. So, I mean, is there some public policy reason that applies in this case? That would cause us to disregard the plain language of the policies?
There's plenty of public policy, but before I
that's my question, so let's do that first. So okay. Help me understand that, then you can talk about other things.
The public policy, as I mentioned, was to ensure adequate insurance coverage for innocent victims.
Right.
And that
how does giving effect to the plain policy language in this case defeat that public policy purpose? Everyone's going to get covered here.
Well, because it gets down back to the idea that this case under Buckeye Union will be remanded for pro rata determination, and here there's enough coverage.
Well, why would it be remanded for pro rata determination when the plain language of the policy says Acuity's got to cover the loss?
And I believe we don't even get to that because their only argument is here that they placed the escape clause into the definition of an insured. And that's what their argument is.
I understand that. You did a good job of refuting that argument. But we still have very different language here. And it's still hard to see any public policy reason why we shouldn't give effect to the plain language of the insurance policy.
But not only because of the adequate coverage that will provide innocent victims.
But how do innocent victims?
Because then they can get coverage under both policies under a pro rata situation.
Well, it doesn't
here.
Matter to the victim. They're going to recover up to the policy limits, whether it's pro rata or not. So that doesn't.
But then the other public policy reason here too is that the owner of the car here, that's insured by Progressive, is expected that when they lend the car to a permissive driver for good purposes, which could be driving someone to the hospital, to the grocery store, that they are guaranteed that that car will be covered.
Why does that matter for public policy? What matters for public policy is that someone is going to cover the loss. And here, the loss under the Progressive policy is going to be covered. Either the other insurance will pay for it. If the person doesn't have other insurance, then Progressive will pay for it. So public policy seems to be met.
I don't believe it does. I think that, once again, what home indemnity stood for is to have adequate coverage and also the guarantee for the owners of cars that a permissive driver will be covered. And one of the purposes of it also is that owner of that car that's going to loan the car doesn't then have to investigate, you know, of the other insurance of a permissive driver.
But again, you don't have to, because if the person doesn't have other insurance, then the Progressive policy is going to cover it.
And I think Home Indemnity covered all that in terms of making that decision, that that was the best decision to make, that an escape clause with excess coverage just is not enforceable, and that is to guarantee adequate coverage.
So it's just not enforceable because it's not. That's kind of the...
Well, and I think here the important thing is that Home Indemnity is good law, that it has given us consistent, fair, equitable application for 53 years. And that there's no reasons under stare decisis for this case for Home Indemnity to be reversed. The Progressive has not proven why stare decisis does not apply. And
if we were to reverse Home Indemnity, would that result possibly in encouraging multiple lawsuits for negligent entrustment against the owner of the vehicle as well as the driver?
If Home Indemnity is reversed by this court, there will be confusion. There will be more litigation in terms of trying to determine, you know, these escape clauses, where they place them, how they can avoid liability. And that's why Home Indemnity found that such an escape clause is not effective. And there's nothing for this court to hang its hat on to reverse Home Indemnity. And this case is virtually identical on all facts, and that's why we got the briefs, because the arguments in Home Indemnity are identical. At page 2 of Home Indemnity's brief, they argued that the driver was not insured, what they are arguing here. This court rejected that. At page 10, State Farm challenged that argument that you can't just say the driver is not insured. This court considered that and rejected that. And then at page 2 of the opinion of the 11th District, the 11th District specifically rejected that argument by saying they are trying to elevate form over substance by trying to put the escape clause into the language of an insured.
Counsel, let me ask it this way. So is it Acuity Insurance Company's position that an insurance company cannot define an insured?
That is not the position. The position is that an escape clause
can't go into definition.
It's not enforceable when there's excess liability like this case. So it's specifically under Home Indemnity.
But is it, that's what I guess what I'm getting to is, does Acuity believe the definition of insured cannot deal with the excess issue? Or the escape issue, whichever one you want to call it.
In terms of the auto liability, yes. And that also takes us to, in terms of when there's the other insurance. That's the thing about the Home Indemnity case. This is not a freedom of contract case. It's how to reconcile two contracts here. The one with the escape and the one with the excess. And Home Indemnity...
Why wouldn't we just reconcile them by reading the plain language of each contract? There's nothing... This is not a case where there's any irreconcilable language.
Correct. But what we're saying is that the language that Progressive uses is in conflict with Home Indemnity, which has been the law for 53 years, and that they cannot use that escape clause under these circumstances when there's excess liability. And under Buckeye, that's why this case goes back for a pro rata determination of the respective liability and coverage in this case. And so we believe Home Indemnity should hold up. And what they rely mostly on is on the uninsured motorist cases. They cite all those cases here today in their briefs, but as the court in Shepard versus Scott rejected that claim. Also, what is important here?
I mean, isn't there even a stronger, I mean, the case for having judicially imposed rules that are contrary to the contract says is a lot stronger in uninsured motorist cases than they are in these general liability policies, right?
Well, here the purposes of the uninsured is that they have to be in conformity with revised code 39.
Right. And so I mean, there's policy reasons that courts could read things into uninsured motorist policies that aren't there, but there aren't such policy reasons here, are there? I mean, if anything, the uninsured motorist cases you provide more support because despite those policy reasons, courts have endorsed the freedom to contract.
Well, once again, I believe that I've spoken about the public policy under home indemnity, and I believe those apply here. And I believe that the uninsured motorist has been covered by statute to be in conformity. And we have a situation that this is not governed by statute, that home indemnity governs here, and that there is no basis under stare decisis to alter, reverse, or change, or not apply to that to this case. And the other cases that they rely upon, the auto liability insurance cases, none of those cases dealt with home indemnity or escape and excess policy cases. And that's reflected in their motion to certify the conflict, where they attempted to say that this case conflicted with the first district of GEICO and the sixth district case of Egert, where they tried to say there was a conflict. But the 11th district correctly noted that none of those cases dealt with the escape clause in conjunction with the excess liability. None of those cases even cited home indemnity. So if you cite cases that don't address home indemnity, you can't rely upon them. Home indemnity governs this case under stare decisis. It has been the law of this court for 53 years. No court has challenged it, and it is the majority rule. And once again, it provides adequate coverage. It gives guarantee. It gives guarantee to the owner of the car that they can trust that permissive driver to drive a car, and then there be coverage. And also, we have provided this court with the majority rule. At pages 13 through 14 of our appellate brief, we cite all the out-of-state cases that support home indemnity. In fact, we cited the Seventh Circuit case of GEICO that home indemnity actually cited and relied upon in finding that escape clauses such as this, in light of the excess liability coverage, is unenforceable. This case is indistinguishable. Ashton Smith was covered by Acuity. Progressive attempted to put the escape clause into the insured section, just like home indemnity. Home indemnity found that that escape clause, in an attempt to claim that they're not insured, is unenforceable. And once again, we ask that this court go back and take judicial notice of the appellate briefing in home indemnity to show that it parallels exactly this case. And nothing has changed since 1970 when this court released home indemnity to change the law. So we ask that this court follow stare decisis, affirm the 11th District's well-reasoned decision, and follow instructions to remand it for that pro rata determination in accordance with home indemnity. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, this court held in Westfield versus Galatas that a court's role is to enforce unambiguous policy provisions. It's not to maximize coverage. Here we have an unambiguous policy provision that says that Ashton is not an insured under Progressive's policy if he has his own coverage. He has his own coverage.
Counsel, what is the language in the home indemnity policies, the difference in the language in those policies that distinguishes it and makes it not controlling?
Well, in State Farm versus Home, the home policy said, we don't cover a permissive driver if they have any primary or excess insurance. And the other policy, State Farm's policy, says, we provide excess insurance. So the court said, well, there's no other policy that could provide primary insurance besides Home's policy, so we're saying Home is primary. That I've always had a problem with that. I've read this case for my entire career, and I don't understand why an excess clause would prevail over an escape clause that says we provide no coverage at all. But the language here in Progressive's policy is different. It doesn't refer to primary or excess coverage and leave the possibility that if there's a policy like Acuity that says we're excess, then the other policy becomes primary. It says Ashton is not an insured if he has any other insurance, and that's the language at issue. This court does not need to overrule State Farm. It effectively already has in the Holloman case and the Wohl case, but you could overrule State Farm. In the Galatis case, there are three things. There have to be change in circumstances. There is a change in circumstances here. The insurance industry has moved on from the old rule of thumb that insurance follows the car. You have to look at the policy language. State Farm defies practical workability because we're here today. Acuity had to go search this court's archives to figure out what the policy provision that was at issue in State Farm even was. And third, abandoning State Farm would not create any hardship. A majority of the insurance market has abandoned it already by moving to these new provisions, nor will it cause any confusion or additional litigation. It just makes it clear that first you look at the definition of insured, and if you find that the person at issue is an insured under two policies, then you get to the other insurance conditions. But if there's only one policy that insures Ashton Smith, like here, there is no other insurance issue. There's no confusion, there's no litigation, there's no cases that go to the Ohio Supreme Court. The reality here is that the law and the insurance market have evolved considerably since State Farm was decided in 1970. Definitions of insured, like Progressive's, are now found in a majority of personal auto policies in Ohio. They're not causing any problem. This court should recognize that evolution and should reverse the 11th District and reinstate the trial court's summary judgment for Progressive.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement, and you will receive a decision from the court.